Welcome to the Space Show, Jessica.
Thanks for having me.
Your company, ATK, has had a long and glorious involvement in the space shuttle, and many people would be aware of the solid rocket boosters, for example.
Yes.
But your program involves other rockets as well.
Sure. One of the things that we have recently announced is a partnership with Lockheed Martin to bring back the Athena launch vehicles. So that's one of our recent announcements, and we're looking forward to hopefully having launches in 2012.
Now, the earlier rocket by the name of Athena, could you perhaps give us a bit of background on that and why you developed it and what sort of missions it's done?
Sure. Athena's done quite a few missions. One of the most famous ones was it did launch a payload to the moon, Lunar Prospector, but it stopped flying as the market for small satellites diminished. But now we see some resurgence for a market for small satellites. So Lockheed and ATK are bringing back kind of a different version of Athena, the Athena 1C and the Athena 2C.
And how would they differ from the earlier Athenas?
They are similar, but they do have a newly designed upper stage using a Castor 30 motor.
One of the issues in getting payloads into space is that it costs you about $10,000 a kilogram or more. Is your company addressing that issue of the cost of getting payloads into space?
Well, I think that's what's really good about this partnership. We can take the history that we've learned over the space shuttle program and the history that we've learned with Athena, and that helps us to really be lean in our operations and reduce that cost to pound per orbit as we go forward looking at future NASA missions, commercial or even DOD payloads that may launch off of Athena.
And what was the genesis of Athena? Did it come out of an earlier system, or did you design it from the drawing board up?
I'm not sure about that, because I wasn't here when Athena was launching previously, but can certainly get some more information for you on that.
What sort of missions are you going to do with this new rocket?
Well, the Athena 1 is a two-stage, and the Athena 2 is a three-stage rocket. And so this will be for small satellites, probably up to around the 3,700 pounds range. So, and it can launch in multiple locations. We can launch here out of Cape Canaveral. We can launch out of Vandenberg Air Force Base in California, including Kodiak Launch Complex, as well as Wallops.
Kodiak is where?
Alaska.
And Wallops?
Wallops is in Virginia. So we have quite a few different areas depending on the customer needs to launch from a variety of different areas.
Why do you have so many launch pads, you know, places you can launch from?
Well, we have a variety of launch pads depending on what orbit we need to go to and what our customer needs are. So the availability of launching at different locations allows us that flexibility to kind of service what our customers and what that particular satellite needs are.
Would it be possible to launch it from Australia or something like that?
I don't know. I don't know if they've looked into launching from Australia. I know we've looked at these particular four, and I'm not as familiar with the Australian launch sites.
But it would be available to any Australian customers who wanted to get their payload into space, like a university or government.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And are you able to reveal some of the customers that you've sort of got lined up for Athena 2?
Well, at this point,
Athena.
We don't have particular customers that we have listed. We will start to work with our variety of customers, whether it be commercial, NASA, or DOD, to figure out what their needs are. But we're looking to launch our first mission around 2012 at a flight rate about 2 per year.
And, of course, you're winding down your shuttle SRB operations now, solid rocket booster operations.
Yes, we are winding down shuttle with the few remaining missions. We've actually cast our last segment for the shuttle solid rocket boosters. We still also produce the GEM motors, the graphite epoxy motors, for the Delta 2 and Delta 4. So we still are in production of those rocket motors as well that still come out to here, as well as Vandenberg Air Force Base in California.
And those rockets you just mentioned on the Delta, those are the things you see spinning off to the side a little way into the launch.
Correct. Those are the ground and airlet motors that are kind of surrounding the base of the Delta 2 and Delta 4 rockets. So we also produce those, and we'll continue to produce those for our customer, United Launch Alliance.
Why do some rocket vehicles use these solid rocket boosters on the side and others don't?
Well, I think it depends, again, on the mission. So for a Delta, they need some push off the ground, but they also need some airlet solids to continue on. And the Delta vehicles are interesting because they can kind of go anywhere from no solids to up to 9 on the Delta 2. So it makes it very customer-friendly that you can almost tailor how many motors and how much thrust you need for depending on what your payload weight is.
Well, thanks for joining us on the Space Show.
Happy to be here. Thank you for having me.